Romans chapter 10, we'll start reading in verse 6, and it says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Then we skip down to verse 17, and it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And I shared with you many times for a long time, I would just quote part of that verse. I would say, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And I was quoting it the way I heard it quoted. So the emphasis, in my estimation, was almost apart from the author. Not that that was stated, but it just appeared that way to me. And being a person who was built kind of religiously, I was looking for the formula, and I thought, okay, that's the formula. Just say it, say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. Eventually, it'll get in there kind of thing. Well, faith, the verse 17, this is telling you that faith comes by hearing God. That's the spirit of what that says in verse 17. Faith comes by hearing God. You got to hear God, and you got to know the one that spoke it. Otherwise, it's just words. That's what gives it the validity of its currency. Is knowing the author, knowing the character of the one who spoke it. That's when faith comes. So we're talking about the title of the message, and this is part two of the whole package. The whole package. And in verse 9 and 10, we see these two words used, saved and salvation. The word saved is the word sozo, and it means to deliver, to protect, to heal, preserve, be whole or make whole. Wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. It's the whole package right there. And this is one of those words. Actually, both of them are this way. When you use the word sozo or the word soteria, you're saying all of its meaning at the same time. How many of you know Pastor Randy? He was here just a little while ago. One of my best friends. He did this thing on peace, and he was using the word shalom. That's the Hebrew word that we translate peace, and it is exactly like the word saved. It means all of that stuff. And every time you say shalom, you're saying you're delivered, protected, healed, preserved, prosperity. It's all in that. So he taught this thing, and he had a Rubbermaid cereal container, and he put all these little plastic balls in there. And so for a month or so, he taught on that. He'd shake that thing like this. And that was to get the idea that when you say peace, you're not just saying an element of it or one of those things on the inside. You're saying all of it. It's a package. It all comes in the package. Thank you. Praise God. Receive the package. There's some people rejecting the package. Why? They're sending people away. No, that's not mine. No. Deliverance. How many of you have been delivered? I got delivered of religion. Got delivered from that. Protection. How many of you have experienced protection? Almost got broadsided yesterday. Somebody was going around a line of cars. I was just trying to turn on a road. I didn't look in the rearview mirror. I'm looking this way for the oncoming traffic. And I start to turn out and, whoo, man. I just sat there. Once my temperature returned to normal, you know how you get this chill that goes through you and you wonder, do I have any color, you know? And I'm just going, thank you, Jesus, for your angels and protection. I mean, it could have been bad, really bad. Harrison and I coming back from school. So that's what we're saying. We're saying all of that, right? How many of you have been healed? Praise God. But it's all part of the package. Don't refuse part of it. We used an illustration last week that if we gave an altar call for salvation, you want to receive Jesus? Do you want to receive righteousness? Do you want to be made right with him? Do you want to be absolved of all your sin? All of it. Come up here. And we'll pray. So we line everybody up here, and then we say the sinner's prayer with them. Guess what? How many of them got born again? Every one of them, right? So why do we shift when it comes to healing? It's the same sacrifice. It's the same coin. We went through several scriptures, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24, that connect healing and forgiveness of sin. It's the same sacrifice, same coin. It's just the other side. Why do we shift from this is an absolute certain thing to, well, if it's the Lord's will? Where does that come from? Religion, yeah, exactly. And why do people do that? Because sin, there's no evidence of your sin. There's not a big pile of them, and you saw them erased in front of your eyes. But sickness is the same as temptation to sin. I want you to think about it like that. You can still sin, right? How many of you figured that out? Yeah, I'm born again, right? And it says whoever's born of God cannot sin in 1 John. Doesn't it say that? And I'm going, what? I broke the law today, running the speed limit. You know what I mean? We can do it, right? We can. What he's talking about there is in your spirit, you can't sin. That part of you is sealed. You cannot sin. And that's how God's going to deal with us from then on. And that's the seed, that incorruptible seed on the inside of us. When we've taught on holiness, that's that production, that fruit. It's all coming from the transformation that happened in our spirit. And the same is true with healing. Can you still get sick? Sure you can, right? But you need to fight it. Don't accept it as God's plan for your life. Can I go ahead and get indignant for a moment? That is wrong. God can't give you what he doesn't have. You see healing in the old covenant, you see healing in the new covenant, and you see healing in heaven. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. It's his plan all the way through, healing. I want you to go over to Psalm 103. So those two words, salvation and saved, they're basically cousins of one another. And they are both package words. So don't refuse the package. Don't reject the package. You know what's sad to me is in churches, people are being taught to reject part of the package. They're good with salvation, but don't talk to me about healing. Don't talk about prosperity. Don't talk about some of these other things. They're okay with salvation, but it's the same sacrifice. It's all in the package. All of it's in the package. I had to battle this week. I came home yesterday and the night before, sore throat. You know, I'm around a lot of kids. We went to Disney on Wednesday. Kids are sick all the time, constantly absent because of being sick. And so part of it, though, for me, is I've been doing too much. You know, I need to back off a little bit, give my body a rest. Because there's a point in time when my body says, okay, you're going to lay down. And you don't have a choice. You know what I mean? And we went to that marriage seminar last night. Oh, I was sagging and dragging. But you know what? I'm not sick trying to get well. I'm the healed resisting sickness. Just like I'm righteous and I resist sin. It's the same. Can you see that? You got to have an attitude about sickness. I mean, you need to get angry about it. The violent take it by force. Get an attitude about it. This is wrong and it doesn't belong. Kick it out. And so what are you going to do? You're going to sit down with the Word of God and you're going to ask God to minister His word to you, because you know what? Faith will drive it out. And sometimes we look at little things as being okay to use our faith on, but then the big things come and the same faith that'll cure a cold can heal cancer or AIDS or anything that we would consider terminal, life-threatening. In fact, cancer, it's rebellious cells that are producing in rebellion. And your faith can evict that from your body. It's true. Did you find Psalm 103? Look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I would venture to say that a lot of people have forgotten some of the benefits. And he starts to list them. Here they are. Who forgives all your iniquities? How many of them? How many of them? Even the ones you haven't done yet, they're forgiven. Glory to God. Who heals all your diseases? When we talk about healing, most people are looking for healing outside themselves, usually from above. They're wanting God to cut the check. And you hear them in the altar. Oh, Father, like I said, they'll list their resume. Oh, they're so faithful. They tithe. They come to church every time the doors are open. There's not a more faithful person. And they're really saying, this person, they deserve their healing. That's what they're saying. None of us deserve that package. Did we? I didn't expect you to run the aisles, but it's true. Jesus earned it. Jesus earned it, right? Did you notice that in Jesus' ministry, he did no pre-healing interviews? Now, what'd you do? Can you tell me what you did to get yourself in this mess, right? Now, he would tell them, he would attribute sometimes to sin. He'd say, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you, right? He would say that, which he's tying sickness to sin. And I'm not saying necessarily individual sin. I'm just talking about sin. Sin entered the world. Read Romans 5, verse 12. Death came from sin. Sin came from man. It's not something God produced. It was never part of the design. We were not designed to die. Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Now, I want you to go over to Hebrews chapter 11. That's just review. That's just to get us current to where we are. Now, my mind's really on healing. It's really on it. I've been just spending a lot of time in this. Can you tell? Hebrews 11. How many of you like Hebrews 11? What a great chapter. We call that the Hall of Faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Moses, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah. I mean, there's a list of folks there. It's the Hall of Faith. But look at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, some people read that and they say, God made everything out of nothing. That's not what it says. It says that you can't see it. You just can't see it. He made everything from the substance of his heart called faith. He conceived it and he voiced it. Words frame worlds. And I don't let anybody frame my world because they will make it too small. What are we saying? If you get a cold, let's say you get the flu or something like that, do you say, I have? I recommend you never do it again. Let me tell you about my whatever it is, my cancer, my sickness, my this. Stop it. You are owning it. You're taking possession of it. Stop that. Only refer to it as I'm healed of it. Is it a reality? Perhaps not in the natural, but the truth is a greater reality. And I'm going to make my body submit to the greater truth. We're going to watch a video. Now, we did this video when we did a lesson called The Realm of Possibilities. And this is not any Christian material that we're about to watch. And what it does is it teaches you what happens in the quantum realm. And so I used this at school recently, and I thought, you know, we need to go back and look at this because amazing things are happening, and I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to have these aha moments. The Lord is going to show us these things, and we're going to realize it's always been that way. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. That's not a religious slogan. It's a reality. And when I was teaching that at the school, and I used Jesus walking on the water as an example. And so they said, you really mean I can walk on water? I said, if you believe. And then they go, well, let's go outside. We're going, because we got backwaters out back. Let's go outside. I said, no, you don't believe. You don't believe. You're going to try something, and hope deferred makes the heart sick. You got better things to use your faith on than this. You really don't believe. And they'd say, no, no, I believe. I said, well, how old are you? 12. I said, oh, so you've had 12 years of experience with natural laws, and in 12 minutes, your mind has changed, and you're going to be out there walking on. It's possible. The possibility is there. Jesus proved it. And you might say of Jesus, well, he's just doing his God thing. What about Peter? Nothing spiritual about Peter. In fact, he was nothing but flesh at that point, right? He wasn't born again. But he heard the word of God and he stepped out on it. Okay, so what we're going to do, it's called Dr. Quantum, and it's going to teach us what happens when we look at stuff. We're talking about matter. Okay, there's this phenomenon that happens in the quantum realm. Quantum just means very small, atomic level. And the phenomenon is this. It's called wave-particle duality. All matter is in one of two forms. It's either wave, like light and sound, or it's particles. If you could zoom in on this table right here, at the atomic level, it's moving. It's all moving. To us, it looks like it's still, but it's actually in motion. So the phenomenon is this, that the electron exists in a wave state everywhere at the same time in the realm of possibilities until we look at it. When we look at it, the electron is collapsed and becomes one particle in one location. The scientists have no explanation for it. I do. The Word of God. All things are possible. Let's watch the video.
To understand this experiment, we first need to see how particles, or little balls of matter, act. If we randomly shoot a small object, say a marble, at the screen, we see a pattern on the back wall where they went through the slit and hit. Now, if we add a second slit, we would expect to see a second band duplicated to the right. Now, let's look at waves. The waves hit the slit and radiate out, striking the back wall with the most intensity directly in line with the slit. The line of brightness on the back screen shows that intensity. This is similar to the line the marbles make. But when we add the second slit, something different happens. If the top of one wave meets the bottom of another wave, they cancel each other out. So now, there is an interference pattern on the back wall. Places where the two tops meet are the highest intensity, the bright lines, and where they cancel, there is nothing. So, when we throw things, that is, matter, through two slits, we get this. Two bands of hits. And with waves, we get an interference pattern of many bands. Good so far. Now, let's go quantum. An electron is a tiny, tiny bit of matter, like a tiny marble. Let's fire a stream through one slit. It behaves just like the marble, a single band. So, if we shoot these tiny bits through two slits, we should get, like the marbles, two bands. What? An interference pattern. We fired electrons, tiny bits of matter, through. But we get a pattern like waves, not like little marbles. How? How could pieces of matter create an interference pattern like a wave? It doesn't make sense. But physicists are clever. They thought, maybe those little balls are bouncing off each other and creating that pattern. So, they decide to shoot electrons through one at a time. There is no way they could interfere with each other. But after an hour of this, the same interference pattern is seen to emerge. The conclusion is inescapable. The single electron leaves as a particle, becomes a wave of potentials, goes through both slits, and interferes with itself to hit the wall like a particle. But mathematically, it's even stranger. It goes through both slits, and it goes through neither. And it goes through just one, and it goes through just the other. All of these possibilities are in superposition with each other. But physicists were completely baffled by this. So they decided to peek and see which slit it actually goes through. They put a measuring device by one slit to see which one it went through and let it fly. But the quantum world is far more mysterious than they could have imagined. When they observed, the electron went back to behaving like a little marble. It produced a pattern of two bands, not an interference pattern of many. The very act of measuring or observing which slit it went through meant it only went through one, not both. The electron decided to act differently, as though it was aware it was being watched. And it was here that physicists stepped forever into the strange never world of quantum events. What is matter? Marbles or waves? And waves of what? And what does an observer have to do with any of this? The observer collapsed the wave function simply by observing.
How cool is that? Again, that's not Christian material. Did you hear when he said all the possibilities are in superposition with one another? That means every scenario, all at the same time, until we look at it. So, what does that have to do with us? You have to observe yourself healed. You have to. If you're looking at your sickness and the symptoms, that's what you're going to see. You have to look at what God gives you to look at. And God's given you sozo to look at. He's given you a package. He declares you healed. You have to see yourself healed despite what you feel physically. That's the point. We have to have an expectation. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So our expectation, that's the reason I'm showing you that. If you expect to see your condition get worse, you're actually placing a demand on it. It's happening because of you and your expectation. So what do? We spend time in the Word. That's what 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 is about. Beholding as in a mirror the glory, the opinion of God, so that we're transformed into that same image. We want to see what God sees. And that's not just our spirit. That's our spirit, soul, and body. We need to be prospering in our soul. That's where we prosper in our soul, when we begin to have our minds renewed to the reality of what's in that package and what God is expecting. Coupled with our expectation is our words. I'll know what you believe by listening to how you talk. I think it would be a good idea if we could just wear a tape recorder for a day and just monitor our own words. My phone has that where you can text through voice. Maybe we just turn that on and stick it in your pocket and just walk around and see what we're actually saying all day long. Are we speaking life? Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit in their life, or am I speaking death? Does it matter? Oh, yeah, absolutely. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Now there's a heart-mouth connection, just like we saw in Romans chapter 10, right? With the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you take possession of that package. is you've got to believe it in your heart and give voice to it. I was not born again until I said so. I believed Jesus was the Son of God, but until I prayed the prayer, no miracle happened. That's the law of faith. What you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth, it's coming to pass. And I'll say this, I'll add this to it, good or bad. You will have what you believe and you say. Skip down to verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, some people read that and think that light affliction, that, you know, this sickness somehow is meant for my good. Man, a lot of people die from it. And that's so hypocritical. If the sickness is somehow God's way to perfect us or to get something out of us or whatever, then if you go to the doctor and try to get any relief, you're a hypocrite. You just sit there and take it. You see how silly that is? It's nonsense. I said it's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's crossways to the Word of God. This light affliction is just talking about life, where we live now. We live in a world that is somewhat handicapped compared to the original created design that had approximately 2.5 times the oxygenated pressure that we have now. So we're nowhere close to our optimal genetic expression. Right now, we have to drink green tea and wear sunscreen to keep the free radicals from giving you cancer. And you know what? Those free radicals that come from the sunlight, those were meant to be a blessing. Those were meant to charge the magnetic polarities of this planet like a battery to keep it charged all the time. Man's sin, the covering fell, the firmament, which is hydrogen. They have proven that that was a crystalline lattice, that when you take that and you compress it, which rakia is the Hebrew word in Genesis chapter 1, talking about the firmament, he created the firmament. It really is thin metal layers that are beaten and compressed. They thought at first that was a mistake. That's exactly what it was. Because hydrogen, when it's compressed, becomes conductive or metallic. Metal, in its purest form, is transparent. We read about it in heaven, transparent gold. Remember the Apollo 11 visors, they had gold. That was to protect them from the radiation because they were exposed to the raw sunlight, right? When it's talking about light affliction, that's just life. We're talking about life, not some specific sickness. If you think that way, you're signing for the wrong package. Somebody sent you a bunch of snakes and you just signed for it. I'm telling you, you need to fight that with everything that's in you. Send that away. Reject that package. While we do not look at the things which are seen. Here we go. You ready? But at the things which are not seen. See, this was in the Bible a long time before quantum physicists figured this stuff out. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're talking about two realms. The temporary realm, the natural realm. Guess what? It's subject to change. Right? And the eternal realm. And I want you to think of this. When you look through this room, everything you can see, everything you can see won't be here one day. It's temporary. On the scale of eternity, this chair does not exist. Right? And you might be thinking, well, what about us? We've never seen the real you. We've only seen your earth suit. In the original design, do you realize we would have been a whole lot better looking? I can't imagine that of my wife, but me, yes, I could see. I would have been at least 4 inches taller, and my hair would have wanted to remain. Are you with me? We're in a handicapped state, and that's why this outward is perishing. It's temporary. Oh, but it's the seed for a new one. We're going to get the original design. That's part of redemption. Amen? Remember, we're looking at things that are in the eternal realm. So what am I looking at? I'm seeing myself healed, completely healed. I see myself righteous. Does anybody have a problem with seeing yourself righteous? You know what? I wake up some days and I don't feel righteous. I just don't feel righteous. And it's like I said last week. I said, if I woke up next to Julie and I said, honey, I don't know what it is. I just don't feel married today. I just don't feel married. That would be an awesome mistake. Yeah, I'm going to run with that today, right? No, she's going to go to the safety deposit box and pull out this covenant document that we have. It says, I don't care what you feel. The truth is, you sign this paper and we're in a marriage covenant, okay? It's the same with healing. I don't feel healed some days. Anybody else? I mean, I battled this week, and I kind of half knew last week, teaching what we're teaching, I better be ready. You know what I mean? But I was. I had to listen to the Lord when the Lord said, slow down. You got to back off a little bit. You know, my family gets scraps sometimes. That's not okay. Did you hear me? That is not okay. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1. We believe and therefore we speak. And what are we speaking from? We're not speaking from what we can see. Circumstances, if that's all you're looking at and you're speaking the circumstances, that's all you're going to have. I don't feel good. 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 You're going to feel worse because your focus is on that. No, you have to look past it. This takes a fight. You have to look past what you're feeling. Amen? Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 3. And it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. What I want you to see is that everything, we just looked at the quantum realm, right? Everything is upheld by his word. It's the word of his power. Some people say the power of his word, but it's the word of his power. It's telling you how to access all his power. If we just said the power of his word, that may be only a portion of his power. No, it's the word of his power, all his power. Do you see it? We talked about atoms being in motion. What keeps them together? They're moving. They're literally moving. They're little orbits, the electrons, protons, you know, neutrons, all that. It's all happening. It's moving. What keeps it together? His word. You see that? Go over to Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 17, and I'm really just interested in the B part of this. It says, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is God's method right here. Calling things that are not as though they are. Okay? That's how he does it. He's not calling things that are as though they're not. He's calling things that are not as though they are. Okay? If you have symptoms in your body, what is not? Health. Okay? So what do? I call myself well. I call myself healed. I call myself healthy. Right? I don't deny what is. Let's say, for example, you're dealing with emphysema, just to grab one off the shelf. There's no power in walking around saying, I don't have emphysema, I don't have emphysema, don't have emphysema, don't have emphysema, never going to have emphysema. There's no power in that, because if your body is dealing with emphysema, that's lying. That's denial. There's no power in that. I have to call for what's in that package. What's in that package? Healing is in that package. Divine health is in that package. I have to call for what's in the package. Amen? Go over to Proverbs chapter 18. Now, I'm making healing kind of the main topic because, like I said, when it comes to righteousness, people have no problem with that. 25 out of 25 got born again when they said the sinner's prayer, right? They came into the family, the kingdom, 25 out of 25. But when it comes to healing, all of a sudden, we shift over to human reasoning and religious explanation, and if it be the Lord's will, man, never pray that. He wrote down his will. He told you what to expect. I'm trying to stir you. Is anybody stirred? I'm trying to stir you up about this thing. You ought to be indignant about anything that violates your health. Proverbs 18, look at verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of what? His mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Guess what? What we're saying does go into us. I think it's Proverbs 18, verse 8 says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body, which literally means the rooms of your belly. So everything we say, it's connected. Our voice box and our ears are connected. Did you know that? Have you ever noticed that when you put in earplugs, you get louder? You blocked everybody else out, but now you hear you. Or you played back your voice recording on your cell phone. You said, that doesn't sound like me. That sounds nothing like me. That's exactly what we hear, right? Because you hear yourself on the inside. See, there's a connection between our words and our heart. So we're going to be satisfied from the produce of our lips. We're going to be filled with that. If you're talking sickness and symptoms, you're going to be filled with it. But if you're talking what's in the package, give it voice. How long do I have to do this? Until. But I'm tired of doing this. Well, stay sick. How long do I do it? Until. I'm getting tired of doing this. Well, all right, back off. What's the alternative? Go ahead, get sick. It's a choice. It is a choice as much as salvation is a choice. Are you listening to me? Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Where is death and life? The power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. And notice that it's death and life. A lot of people quote it life and death. No, it's death first. Why? Because that's our inclination, I believe. That's the current world system is going to speak death first. You know, I backed off the news because my blood pressure was really high. And I came to the conclusion, some smart people are writing how they orchestrate all of that stuff. And the idea is to keep you in constant crisis. So you have to tune in tomorrow and see, how did it turn out? And you know what? There's a new crisis. There's a new crisis. It's just one after another, one crisis after another. And so what are you doing? You're, the world's coming apart. You wind up fretting about the thing. Maybe it's just me, but not anymore. The Lord, he quickened me. Like I said, I spent time with the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Back off of that. And Facebook, you know, the social media, because there's still a lot of that debates right there in front of you. I used to troll that and read those things, and I'd want to comment, but I wouldn't. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. We're going to watch a video. I showed this to the teenagers. It's about 2 minutes long, put on by IKEA. What they did, they grabbed two yucca plants and they bullied one and they spoke compliments to the other. And they put them, I don't know, about 8 feet apart or something like that. Same conditions. They were in the same health when they grabbed them, put them in a controlled environment, and watch what happened after 30 days.
I like you the way you are. Seeing you blossom makes me happy.
You're making a difference in the world.
You are beautiful.
I brought them here to see the plant. I was like, a plant is getting bullied. Like, it's not normal.
I think it's an excellent project to have something tangible that they can actually physically be a part of is, I think, going to be very powerful.
I started noticing that the one that was being bullied started kind of to droop.
While the plant that was being complimented, it was flourishing and beautiful.
It's raised the profile massively of different forms of bullying and the effects that bullying can have on people.
It can definitely affect other people.
IKEA. But wasn't that cool? And because I showed that to our classes, now the seniors are going to do this as a project in a controlled environment. We're going to do exactly the same thing. I'm going to go to Lowe's. Now I'm going to do it like the rice that we saw last week. We're going to have one that we just ignore. They'll all get the same food, same water, same sunlight, same hours. One, we're going to bully. The point is not bullying. That's what they're trying to talk about. It's just negative words. Okay, think of it in that context. It's just unhealthy words. And then positive words. Negative and positive, and then no words. And see what the difference is with the three. I think it'd be interesting to see. So, praise God. Go in your Bibles to Matthew 6. Now, how many of you know that there are spiritual frequencies? That's how we hear from God. We get an impression. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, Romans 8, verse 16 tells us. He's communicating with our spirit. Then we read Romans 9, verse 1, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. My conscience is the voice of my human spirit. And just as true as the Holy Spirit speaking to my human spirit, and the impressions that I get from the Lord, the enemy is working as well. And so he's trying to get you into fear. We did a teaching called What to Do in the Meantime. What's the meantime? Well, you find out the doctor is unhappy with one of the tests that you got. And so they send you for another test. And then you're going to find out what the results of that test are in about a week. What happens? You're in the meantime. Now, and I don't know why, maybe it just may be human nature, all of a sudden we're planning out all the worst scenarios. Make sure my life insurance is updated, you know. I mean, that kind of stuff is what we do. And I want to submit to you, don't do that. Don't spend time with an expectation of death. Spend time with an expectation of God's, which is life. I will live until I'm satisfied. And I will live in health until I'm satisfied. Some people think they have to get sick to die. No. Charles Capps said, you know what? I'm satisfied. Got his family together, said, I'm satisfied, guys. I'm going home. Saturday night, he went to bed. That was it. He went to sleep. He didn't struggle. Live till you're satisfied. Amen. Matthew 6, look at verse 31. And this is from the King James Version. And I'm really just interested in the first part of that. Therefore, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. When those thoughts come that happen in the meantime, when they come, how do we take them? By giving it voice. It can happen in your head, but it won't make it to your heart where you believe unless you give it voice. A thought that's in your head will never make it to your heart unless it passes through your mouth. That's Bible. And in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it's talking about a miser, but it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It's important how we think in our heart. What do we really believe about ourselves? Do I believe I'm healed? Do I believe I'm saved? Do I believe I'm prosperous? If you believe it, that's what will be coming out of your mouth. Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, that's where the word of faith kind of messed up. They were trying to just say the right thing. We got a new van. if we were running out of fuel and I just decided to go out there and tinker with the computer, which would be a really bad idea, and I just made that thing say full, I'm calling it full. You're full. Well, guess what? I'm going to walk. Because the gauge can only tell you the condition of the tank. See, it's what's in our heart. We got to take care of what's in our heart. That's where faith comes. Faith comes by hearing God. What do you believe? That's what's coming out of your mouth. Are you with me? You see the difference? Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So don't take the thought. The thoughts are going to come. They're going to come. I said they're going to come. And if you give it voice, then it gets in your heart. You don't want that. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. We'll start reading in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. Now, some people, when they read about strongholds, they think you got to go rent a helicopter and fly over the city and start naming all the principalities and all of that stuff. Man, read what Paul wrote. He says, I fight not as one who beats the air. You know, that's somebody who's shadow boxing. Strongholds here, he's talking about your thoughts. Look at the next verse. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every, what? Thought. This war is going on between your ears. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Boy, that's important. The last couple of words, to the obedience of Christ. You got to hear God. You got to hear Him, and when you hear Him, obey Him. That's how you take the thought captive. And you can't outthink your thoughts. You got to say what you want. You've got to be deliberate. This is so important, because if you're thinking, okay, don't say you're sick, don't say you're sick, don't say you're sick, don't say you're sick. No, no. What, you're focused on sickness. So what do? I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed. Body, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Remember, we watched the video last week with the water crystals. We're mostly water. Start blessing your bodies. Bless them with your words. Get a revelation of the power of your words. Get a revelation. This helps shape your expectation. Now, go over to Proverbs chapter 4. So words release power. And let me go ahead and say this. Things know what you believe. Things know what you believe. A storm believed Jesus. A storm knew that Jesus believed His words, right? A tree knew that Jesus believed His words. That's the power of our words, right? Water. Like I said, Jesus observed those water molecules and they changed to support Him. He turned water into wine. The water obeys you. I know naturally thinking this seems so far out there. So far-fetched. This is the reality. We're going to get to heaven, and God's going to show us these things. And He's going to say, you remember that sermon Pastor Wade taught you, you know, and He showed you the video? It's true. And you're like, oh, if I would have known. And we live with so much less than we're supposed to. All things are possible to him who believes. Do you believe you're healed? You will be healed. You will walk in divine health. Amen? Did I tell you Proverbs 4? Look at verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. And look at this. Health to all their flesh. Harris and I, on the way to school and the way home, I've been taking my phone out, and we have YouVersion, the little app. And I found a version I liked. It's the ESV version. It's kind of close to the New King James. It'll play it for you. So there's a guy reading the scriptures to us. So we've already been through the book of Mark and the book of John. And yesterday we were coming home and Harrison goes, Dad, you forgot the phone. And I said, do you really enjoy listening? Oh, yeah, he loves it. And what are we doing? We're giving attention to the word. Just hearing the word will minister health to your flesh. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Just go back a little bit. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my law. Now, when we say law, we're not talking legalism. We're talking about the word of their day. So you could say, don't forget the word of God, right? But let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Just giving attention to the word ministers longevity and health and peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We do a confession at the school. They call them pledges. And one of them is about the word of God. And the last thing they say is, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. I challenged them on that. They've been saying that for 2 years now. I said, how do you do that? How do you write it in your heart? None of them had any idea. They knew the pledge, but they had no idea how to do it. Psalm 45, verse 1 says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Yeah, give it voice. There it is. That's the answer. They'll never forget it. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's a good advice right there. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know anybody dealing with arthritis or any kind of bone issues? Give attention to his word. Get around the word. And again, it's not the word separate from him. Let him breathe on that word. In closing, Jeremiah 23. You're going to love this. Are you ready? Verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Take the word of God and hammer whatever it is you're dealing with, whether it's lack or whether it's sickness or whatever it is. Take the word of God. Well, I'm getting tired. Well, what's the option? You only lose if you quit. Just take the word of God. It has to submit. It's all upheld by the word. Do you realize everything is still submitting to the word of God? You make your body, you make your checkbook submit to the word of God. Make it submit. You have the authority. Why? Because you're mankind. Everything is submitting to the word of God still. It's still alive. It's still full of power. Make your body submit to the word of God. It's like a hammer. Bust that rock. The tumor has no chance. And you know what? If it's a big rock, get you some faith-filled people to come and pound that thing with you. Are you with me? Get some people that know what they're doing and get them over here. Say, listen, I need some help with this one. You know, I could move one of these chairs on my own, but if we had to go move the Coke machine back there, I'd probably need some help, right? So some things, maybe they just require a little bit of help. That's okay. We have help. That's why we need each other. We're to shoulder in and bear one another's burdens, right? Get somebody to sledge that thing with you. Are you with me? Praise God. Well, did you get anything out of that? Yeah.